Governor Charlie Baker sounded coronavirus alarm bells anew today after the state reported a record-breaking 4,600 new coronavirus cases yesterday. Here he is speaking at the Field Hospital at the DCU Center in Worcester.
Obviously, the numbers that were reported yesterday indicate that we have community transmission across the Commonwealth, and it's incumbent on all of us to recognize and understand that and to do the things that we need to do to keep ourselves, our loved ones, and our coworkers as safe as we possibly can.
Now that even as the Commonwealth might have its first shipment of vaccine doses in less than 2 weeks. So here to talk about the state's capacity to deal with both the rising cases and how to distribute a vaccine is Dr. David Rossman, president of the Massachusetts Medical Society. Dr. Rossman, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much for having me. It's good to be here.
So I'm going to actually start by reading one of your tweets, and this was after we found out about the case level yesterday. You said, quote, "Hey, Massachusetts, are you paying attention? 4,613 new patients with COVID diagnosed today. You know when we last had a number like that? Never, not even close," end quote. And then you ended the tweet with the hashtag stay home. That is concerning, right? The numbers are concerning. You hitting it that hard, given your position and your perspective, is concerning. I want to ask you, do we have the healthcare capacity that we need to deal with the size of the surge we are experiencing?
Yeah, well, listen, it's an important moment right now that we're in, and 4,600 cases yesterday, newly diagnosed, that is certainly concerning, as you say, and it's growing, and it's growing fast. And if we look at the data and trying to compare the number of cases being diagnosed now to being diagnosed in March or April, it's difficult because the state has done a good job in getting much more testing available than we had then. And so we're doing, you know, over 100,000 tests a day, whereas back in March and April, we were doing a tiny fraction of that. On the other hand, the truth is there's just as much COVID and probably more COVID in Massachusetts than there was back in March and April. And the way to know that is to look at the wastewater data. When we flush the toilets, it doesn't lie. The wastewater data demonstrates that there is much more COVID now in Massachusetts than there was back in March and April. So we're at our most dangerous moment. On the bright side, I don't wish COVID on anybody, but it's younger people who have been getting it rather than older people. And although young people can get very sick, young people can die, young people can bring it to older people, especially during the holidays, it is the case that fewer of them end up in the hospital. And therefore, the hospitals have not yet been overrun. We're actually probably at one third of the total hospital utilization by COVID that we were back in March and April. We maxed out around 4,000 cases in the hospital, and now we are under 2,000. There's room for more, but we are getting up against some very worrisome times. And I think the Commonwealth, the community, the people really need to realize what a dangerous time we're in.
You know, you're comparing and contrasting to the spring. We knew so much less then. We weren't even wearing masks at that time. And it's not any colder now than it was then. So why are we outstripping the rate of infection that we were seeing when community spread first hit us as a Commonwealth, and we knew so much less then than we know now?
Yeah, that is an excellent question. Back then we talked a lot about flattening the curve. And we did. We flattened it for a while, and the utilization of masks and social distancing had helped. You say it's not colder. It is colder. It's a nice day out today, and it's sunny. But people are spending more time inside.
But it's not colder than it was in March and April. Well, March. Okay, I shouldn't be defensive. Sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. That's true. That's true. Of course. And so you're right. When we were in March and April, people, this was new, and then people responded very quickly. And if we look back to what happened in March and April, somewhere around March 25th and 26th was the lockdown. And then the peak was around 2 weeks after, the week of April 12th. That was the highest level infection. We saw just over 3,000 cases in a single day. Again, yesterday we saw 4,600. And then it started to trend back down. There's a delay between our taking some significant action or whatever it happens, whether it's something good or bad, and the response of the virus. So when we saw a lockdown on the 25th, and we saw 2 weeks later the peak, and then it started to come down, that makes sense. And then we saw hospitalizations continue to climb for a little while because infection diagnosis has a lag of about 2 weeks from infection, and then the hospitalizations has another lag of another week or two after diagnosis.
So
we expect those lags.
Dr. Russman, that then begs the question. I mean, Governor Baker has been clear that he is not intending another big lockdown or shutdown. The language we heard from him at the top of this segment is the same kind of thing he has been saying about the procedures we need to take for months now. Are you saying that's not enough? Are you finding yourself thinking we need to do what we did on March 25th?
No, ultimately that's up to the governor. What we know is that public health measures work. People wearing masks, people keeping their distance, people washing their hands, people not going to Thanksgiving, and that's already passed, people not going and gathering during Christmas. These things are really important. We have a lot more testing capacity than we had then. The outcomes within the hospitals are substantially better than they had been then. And we know how to care for the disease better than we did then. It feels like a whole different world than it did at that time. And so ultimately the decision of what to keep open and not is that's way above my pay grade. What I look at is the reality that we know that it's growing. We know the public health measures that will help. It's imploring the public to do what we know we need to, even if it's inconvenient. And I think back to your question about why things might be worse now than they were in March is, it's many months later, and people are tired of this. And there's an awful lot of COVID fatigue. People would like to see their friends, their family. They would like to gather. As it gets cold, they gather indoors. And the combination of all of those things has led to what we're seeing now.
Let's talk about the vaccine for a second. You tweeted out yesterday that you gathered from the State Department of Public Health that vaccines, some might be available as early as December 15th. We've been covering on this show questions of how many people are going to be prepared to and willing to take the vaccine. And I want to ask you, in the healthcare community, you represent physicians and medical students. Do you believe your community is prepared to and will take the vaccine in the percentages and numbers that are necessary to help us get to safety?
Yeah, it's a great question and a really important one. In the healthcare community, I do. I have confidence. The history of vaccine skepticism is long, and it's got very many different pockets. And some is the anti-vaccination belief set, and science has dispelled those myths, but has not dismissed the continued force there. Another is in minority Black and Brown communities. There is a deserved mistrust of the healthcare community that is longstanding from Tuskegee and beyond. And so that is something that we need to continue to work very hard to earn trust and quickly because within those communities, we need to make sure who are most vulnerable, who have known to be getting COVID at higher rates, die of it at higher rates, that they have access, easy, free, ready access to vaccines. And then within the healthcare community, we're fortunate enough to understand the science, look at the science, know the science, and see the long history of vaccines as safe and effective, and that the impressive history here as well. And so I think we'll be in good shape.
That is Dr. David Rossman, who's the president of the Massachusetts Medical Society. You've been so helpful. Thanks for joining us today. I hope you'll come back.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.